What's up, babe?
Hi.
Hi. So remember, while we're podcasting today, my beautiful bride, my mother of four, my life partner forever, there's a microphone.
Thank you.
And I would love for you to use it. It looks like it's close enough to your face, but can you tell? Should I bring it closer to you?
I think so.
Okay. Is that better?
We're going to find out.
I'm looking at the camera over there. It looks like we're okay.
Okay. Hi.
So if you are listening to this and you're not watching the video, my wife Kimberly is back in studio with me, and she is holding our first son.
Our number four.
Number four and last child.
Definitely last child.
I got to be honest with you. The only reason I haven't made the appointment is I'm nervous.
Obviously.
I'm just like, they're going to, I'm just nervous about it. You know, let me, I wasn't nervous about it. I thought it was like this nothing thing.
It is a nothing thing.
I know. Well, compared to what you did.
Yeah.
But then.
Nothing.
Listen, are you really comfortable with somebody else fondling my balls while I'm not paying
attention? You know what? Yep.
Can we get a list of who can? I shouldn't be nervous about it. I spoke with, what's his face? Shane, Gabrielle's husband.
Yeah.
Lion. He's a urologist. He does surgeries.
Let's go.
He's in Houston. I'm not flying to Houston.
I'm just saying,
And he was like, he was in the most nonchalant way. He's like, it is uncomfortable. You are going to feel it in your stomach because like they have to tug on. I'm like, thanks, Shane. So we'll see. It'll get done. I'll get it done soon. I need to schedule.
No, we'll see.
No, we'll see how it feels. It feels. It's happening.
All right, we'll do a follow up.
Listen, I told you. When your father told me, you know, keep your wiener in your pants.
Can we not repeat that?
You don't want me to go with what I wanted to say to him?
Nope.
Okay, well, it's along the lines of
he
shouldn't have had a hot daughter if he wanted me to keep my wiener in my pants.
Nope.
Okay.
Let's just not go there.
So I wanted to bring you on today because I've shared with so many people who've asked, how are you? How's the baby? How's the wife? I've just told them how proud of you I am through this whole thing. You were such a rock star through this pregnancy and afterwards. The things I shared with them about you that I would love for you to get into a little bit are the things you did this time that you never did before. Is I believe that you legitimately shifted your identity going into this pregnancy. You already identified as a person who was going to be exercising on a regular basis, where previously doing exercise was like a task for you. You didn't like it. It was a pain in the butt, and you did it, but you didn't love to do it.
Definitely so.
Your nutrition was conscious and intentional, and I would say 85 to 90% clean food.
Yes.
Your mental health was in a place where you were way more conscious with the questions that you were asking, with the way that you were advocating for yourself, with the boundaries that you were putting up, and that came through with some of the things we'll talk about, but your self-esteem just seems to be on a different level than it was last, like in any of the other pregnancies. And I believe that there is no coincidence in how easy the delivery went by comparison to the other babies, how well you've rebounded so fast from it.
That's a big one.
And it's just, there's a lot of factors, but I've been really proud of the way that you did all those things. I want to talk about them.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It feels good.
So if you're listening and you hear some whimpering or crying in the background, remember, there's an infant on set.
Yeah, a really cute one, too.
He is really cute. Do you think that's why I love him more than the other three? Is it because he's cute?
Oh, he's definitely cute. He's a snuggly kid. I think we just forgot about how yummy this part is at the moment when it's like really yummy and good.
Well, I think we discussed this in private, but I think part of it is the first kid we had no idea we were getting into. And for anybody who's listening, who's not had kids yet or who has one kid and is thinking about two, but you're nervous about it. The hardest transition for us was 0 to 1.
Absolutely.
Cause you go from, I know what my life is supposed to look like to what am I supposed to do with this? I remember leaving the hospital being like, I'm allowed to just leave?
Take this thing?
Then there's 1 to 2 is kind of like, I think it was the easiest transition.
I think so too. It was also a blur. I kind of don't remember
it
at all.
But 2 to 3 is a whirlwind.
yes, zone, you know, you lost your zone on zone. It also was
zone on zone. You mean man on
like,
man?
Like man on man, yeah. Whatever.
You didn't grow up playing sports.
No, don't definitely make sports not analogies. We also then had three kids under the age of four. Mm-hmm. Everybody was at home all the time. It was just, it was a winter baby. There was a lot of really shitty factors that came into that one when you like stack it all up.
Yep.
So that one was definitely really tough.
Yeah.
And this one is just like a dream boat because there's a 5-year gap between him and our third.
Right. Which was because he was not, we did not plan him.
He's the little bonus. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a gap. Our girls are older. They're 9, 7, and 5. And currently all three of them go to school full day.
Which is so great.
Which is so great. So we're able to just like really enjoy him just solo. And that is cool. And we've got a lot more growth, maturity, and experience under our belts. And it's just like, all right, cool. What's another one?
Do you think parents who homeschool their kids love their kids more than we do?
There's definitely a bit of more love because they're doing that.
Uh-huh. There's something, right?
There's a something. I got no words, but power to those people who, oh yeah, kid. Okay. Mm-hmm. yeah, power, love and respect for those people because that is something that is not on my capability list.
I feel like in order to do that, you have to have a totally different mindset. Like, I can't imagine loving our kids more. That's a joke when I say that. It's totally tongue-in-cheek that somebody would love their kids more than we do. And a big part of that is because they go to school.
There is a lovely gap of a break
that
we get to have from them. And, yeah, that they need too. They need away time from
us. For sure. So let's talk about the three different elements. The physical fitness, okay, the nutrition,
yep,
and the mindset of self-esteem and boundaries that you created for yourself.
Sure.
We'll finish with that one. Or which one do you think came first?
The mindset part.
So let's go there first.
Yeah. The mindset part, because I think I had to get that in check before the physical part came into it, that I like held myself accountable for that and like nutrition. Because I'll kind of not rope them together, but they were like a combined deal because of the vow and the promise that I like kind of told myself first.
So that's interesting. I didn't know there was a vow or a promise.
Well, just like the mindset part of like the, okay, I'm doing this. Like just the constant the story that I told myself of like,
I want to hear about that. We've talked on the podcast before about the problems that we went through in terms of the postpartum mood disorder that you had after the third.
Yep.
Just our marriage, our, like all the difficulties that we've gone through financially, professionally, socially, all of that stuff. We've discussed that. Anyone who wants to listen can just, I don't know what you'd have to type into Spotify. Find it.
All right. You'll have to link show notes. Episodes.
I'll do that. I'll put the other shows in the show notes. Fine. I'll do that. But so what was the mindset shift? Cause you're definitely a different person.
Without a doubt. So going into this pregnancy, this was like the main difference is I am in a spot where I'm not working anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm home with the girls to take care of them. And I have the freedom and the time to also be able to take care of myself properly of what it takes. I'm not on the back burner anymore. I've created that space and that time. And I've never given myself the proper ability to prioritize a pregnancy like this one. And I told myself that I have the ability, I have resources, I have the time. Stop making excuses. You need to do it. You're going to show up for yourself and you're going to show up for him in a way that you've never done before. And let's kind of give it a solid go.
Well, okay. So what, you were already in that before he came along though.
Yeah. Yes, but like, I don't know. It was just more so it wasn't now about me. It was also about him.
Okay.
And it was just making sure that I really did honor.
So you ramped it up.
Yeah, honor that commitment and was like staying consistent.
So what would you say to the woman who listens to what you just said and immediately disqualifies herself from being able to do what you did because she has to go to work?
I think you do the best that you can do in the parameters that you can do it. Like, I feel like my other three pregnancies were such a blur, like life with three kids under four and being pregnant in like that time period. I kind of don't remember it as much other than it being hard, but I don't remember specifics. You just have, you're kind of in a bit of a survival mode and hopefully you can get to you when you can get to you. And that's great when you're able to kind of fit all of that in. This go around, I just had no excuse to like to not do it. So I wanted to make sure I focused on that. Not that an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. It's like working is not an excuse, but like I have different priorities and different time flexibility that other people don't. And so it's a beautiful thing. I want to be able to take advantage of it.
So what would you say to the person who would say, like, they're still a teacher.
Yeah.
They're a physician assistant. They're a doctor. They're a lawyer, whatever they are. How do they, not even how do they, what would you say to them when they say, well, I'm just going to have to suffer through this because I don't have the freedom that you do to not work.
Yeah. When you can fit it in, you do like, you just do your best of trying to fit it in. If you can,
it being
a physical movement, a space to carve for you time mentally, going for a walk, if you can. Yeah, you know, if you have to pack your lunch for whatever job that you're going to, making sure that that is properly like packed, or if you have to go buy a lunch out and about, trying to stack your plate with protein and vegetables and a great fat source if you can. But like just really, I really did try to up protein when I could. And I think, and eating eggs, I found that was great. Eggs every morning if I could. Yeah, just like little things like that you can kind of sneak in when you can sneak it in.
I'd like to add to that. And it's not, this is not for the woman, it's for the man. It is an investment, the same way that investing money into a stock or something that's going to appreciate over time, to create opportunities for your wife or significant other, partner, whatever you guys call each other or whatever your status together is. If you can create moments for her so that she can take care of herself, it might feel like an added stressor to you, but it will pay dividends big time on the back end.
Sure.
And so, for example, in the case of partners where both are working,
yeah,
cooking breakfast so that you don't have to cook breakfast. I'd like to believe that that's something that every man can do, and it creates a moment of freedom for the woman to not have to be thinking about, okay, I got to get breakfast together. Like, you can just have a mindful morning.
That helped tremendously. Like, you are the chef of our house. So taking that off of my plate and just, I would come back from walking the girls to school and that was just like there ready for me to go. I'm like, oh yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing I don't have to think about.
Yeah. And I'm not even making this about me. I'm talking about any guy out there who has a woman in his life who is pregnant. There are things like, I think that you said something really important, and I want to come back to it. The time for you, whether it's exercise, going for a walk, reading a book, whatever it is, there needs to be time for you to live in your own brain and not have to be doing something, just to have a place to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can feel stressful for the man in the relationship to be thinking about, okay, I'm doing all these other things and now I'm going to add this to my plate, which I'm not as good at as she is. That's why she does it, generally speaking, like putting the kids to bed if you have other kids, making dinners and lunches for the kids, making breakfast for the family, picking the kids up at school or taking the kids to school if your time permits it, changing your work schedule to be home at a certain time so that you can have a family moment and everyone's together. You all know what you can do. I don't know what you can do. I'm just sharing the things that I was able to do. But I think that if the man in the relationship can find a space to provide freedom for the pregnant woman in the relationship. I mean, this is for anybody. It's not just for a pregnant woman, but especially a pregnant woman to just go be. I don't care what you do at that time.
Yeah.
You might choose to exercise with that time. You might not, but at least you have the time. I think that that's one of the most valuable things that I learned through 4 pregnancies is the more I could give you in that regard, the healthier, the happier you were going to be. And what we found through this one is maybe it's a coincidence, but I don't think that it is. The delivery was better. Your recovery has been better. Our family unit is better. All of those things are just better.
100%. I agree with that.
What about, so that's the mindset part.
Yeah.
Right? You decided that you were going to give this everything that you could give it to basically be a professional mom.
Professional pregnant
person. But you were. Like, it was like, okay, if I was going to be the best pregnant woman possible, what would I do?
That was it. What would that look like?
Right.
And for me, that would look like I am consistently showing up and working out 3+ days a week. Right. I am really focusing on the quality of foods that I'm putting into my body. I will admit I am not the best at taking vitamins. So, you know, that, you know, ebbed and flowed when I had the strength to swallow pills. But I didn't stress about that as much, honestly, because I knew I was showing up nutritionally in other ways. So I was okay with like, all right, well, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Well, I think what you're speaking to there is the podcast that I released last Wednesday when this comes out was sometimes 70% is 100%.
There you go.
And so for example, I went and I trained last Tuesday morning and I was up at 1:30 in the morning with him. Didn't fall back to sleep. And I'm like, this sucks. And if I was in a groove, if I was in regular life and I woke up at 1:30 in the morning, I would just skip the gym that day. Because I tell everybody, like, it's not that important. If you're working out 5 days a week and you have been for 10 months consecutively, or in my case, 20 years consecutively, right, and you really slept poorly, you're doing your body better to go back to sleep than you are to go back into the gym. But I haven't been doing that for at least the last 2 weeks. And I know myself and I function in inertias.
Right.
Right. And so if I continued to take time off, I would have just justified it and found a way to keep taking time off. So I had to go in and do 70% of what I normally would have done and allow that to be 100% for the day. What you're talking about is you were eating really well most of the time. You were exercising most of the time. You were making time and space for yourself mentally most of the time. And so you took your vitamins when you remembered and whatever.
Yep.
But there was no stress around it because it wasn't like, I have to do 100% of the things, because you knew I'm doing the rest of this.
Right.
Which is so interesting, because now that I think, I didn't actually think about this at all. When I studied for boards for chiropractic school, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. All my friends, I won't say all my friends, most of my friends were spending 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day studying.
Yeah.
I studied until I felt like my brain didn't want to study anymore. And then I went and played golf, or I worked out, or I went on a walk, a run, whatever. And my theory was, if I can know 70% of the material 100% of the way, I'm going to be fine.
I'm good.
And what was interesting is when I got to the tests and I didn't know the answer to a question, I just assumed I didn't study that and I would be fine. I would know the next one. And that allowed me to have a lot less stress taking the tests than my friends, which is...
Yeah, interesting that you put that together right now.
Yeah, it is. So what did your workouts look like?
So I'm very lucky that I have the ability to work at the flagship with some pretty awesome ALPs. Mm-hmm. And they were able to guide me safely throughout the entire pregnancy, through each trimester, through each week, through each movement, through each minute. Everything could change, whatever the movement could be. Like, I could be fine on a Monday and I come back and show up the next Monday, or even the next, you know, set of that I'm doing, and something could like shift or be off. And I'm like, you know what? Nope, not today. That's not comfy, or that's pulling, or that's hurting, or a little bit of discomfort, whatever the thing could be. I knew that I was always safely like taken care of. And that was like a really cool feeling to know that I was supported, and just whatever I said was like, great, let's change it. We're going to do this instead. And that was exactly what my body needed in that moment and just like needed for the pregnancy too.
Yeah. Big shout out to Sam Jones and Kate Mangiardo.
Yep. Justin too, who helped me at the very beginning. Right. So it was just awesome.
Well, again, most of the people listening to this don't live in Long Beach.
I know.
And most of the people listening to this, quite frankly, won't have the expendable income to spend to work with a personal trainer 3 days a week.
True.
If you didn't have a personal trainer 3 days a week or access to the flagship, what do you think you would have done, or what would you help somebody decide to do for themselves?
Oh, Lord. Okay, so that, honestly, that's a very tough question, because if you think about the three pregnancies that I had prior, I didn't have access to any of that.
Right.
And I didn't really do anything.
Right. Do you think that's because you didn't know what to do, or do you think that's because you were in a different mindset?
Oh, all of the above. I mean, it's hard to say, like, right, so chicken or egg.
So if you went into those pregnancies with the mindset of I'm going to be physically active, and you didn't know what to do, and you didn't have access to people who were going to teach you, you don't know what you would have done.
I would have liked to have thought that I would have asked around. Like, I've got such a large network of people in town now, and resources of people that I can just speak to. So I'd like to think that I would ask of like, hey, what did you, or hey, know anybody who, or put it out there just to like, or anybody have I probably would have put it out a blast on like social media and just said like, hey, this is my situation. Does anybody have a recommendation of X?
And then you would have been overwhelmed. And then I would have been
overwhelmed.
I did this. All the things. I did this. It was great.
But like, you kind of know how to feel. Like, you know who your like-minded people are, of like when recommendations also come in. You know which ones to quickly filter out. You know what maybe might hold some substance. And then like, you got to do your due diligence. Like, you put the question out there. So like, you got to look into whatever the answer came in. And hopefully somebody's got something for you.
So let me give the ladies out there listening to this and the men who support them some references that they can go and check out if they don't have access to the things that we were describing before.
Sure.
BirthFit.
Yeah.
Is a great resource. You were able to work with Nast Whitson.
Yep.
For a few sessions. I don't know. I have no idea what she helped you with. But I know
we worked
on
breathwork.
Okay. So breathwork for labor?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
And then that also helped also transition into some of like exercises that I could, breathwork exercises I could bring into my like exercise routine as well.
Okay. So BirthFit is a great resource. They have a ton of free material where they can help you through what you're doing. And they have coaches from around the country who can work with you remotely on everything through your pregnancy.
Yeah.
Molly Galbraith, Girls Gone Strong. I know you didn't work with her because we were already doing the BirthFit thing with Nast, and we have a relationship pre-existing. But Molly's programs at Girls Gone Strong is phenomenal. She's really well studied. She's really well. She communicates very well, and her programs have a lot of efficacy. And you can find stuff from both of those companies at no cost.
Yeah.
The different when you. One of my favorite expressions I've heard from an entrepreneur in the fitness industry is Bedros Kooli. When I was at his mastermind in 2018, he said, when you run out of resources, you have to become resourceful.
Sure.
And so if you don't have the financial resources, the time resources, the access to a facility like you do, you have to be able to create the best environment for yourself you possibly can. And that's being resourceful. It's going to those websites, it's learning, it's watching their YouTubes, and it's leading yourself in the best way you possibly can. Another thing that I share with our friends, anytime that they're like, I'm yo-yo dieting or whatever, is when you have the financial means, even if it's super uncomfortable, overwhelm your problem. Do not simply do the minimum that's necessary. Stop. Like, you're saving your money for a day that you need it. This is the day that you need it.
Yeah.
If you have access to a few thousand dollars that you have been waiting to figure out, what am I going to spend this on? It's hard for me to articulate to people how much less stress post baby we're having right now physically around you than we've ever had in the past. All the stuff downstairs, good.
Yeah.
Right? I can't speak to the way you're sleeping right now, but I imagine you're sleeping through, what?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so this is something where, again, it's my job to overwhelm some of your problem too. I'm doing the nights.
So that, I will say, has been a, there's been a few things that have been a game changer since coming home. So this is, we're on day 10. So mm-hmm. by the time that, I don't know when this gets released Monday. Out, but as of our 11, filming, 12, 13, as of our 14, filming 15. Right now, today is day 10 of being postly, you know, postpartum. And it has felt totally different. I think some could be weather based. It's not completely winter. We're not, you know, there's some sunlight.
Number two was born in May.
True. I think our kids are older. Mm-hmm. We're wiser. We had like kind of a plan going in. What has saved me so far has been the sleep thing. And you have been taking the rock star night shifts. Sleep interval training is mm-hmm. what you called it.
That's it.
But we're trying to, you know, it comes in waves of trying to figure out what the groove is. Cause like, I know when I see you need some moments, mm-hmm. you know, like the past 2 days I've stayed up late with him so you can go to bed early. Mm-hmm. And then you've taken on the really, really sucky shifts mm-hmm. in the middle of the night. That has helped tremendously of my physical recovery, which will then also help my emotional mm-hmm. recovery. And so it's been a dream for me. I am choosing not to breastfeed and nurse this go around. Mm-hmm. So I just have some of that discomfort getting over slowly losing my milk supply or having it come in and now trying to get rid of it. But I feel hormonally that I'm not out of sync. So that feels really great too. I just kind of have to get over some of that pain.
It's interesting because I would imagine, I would think as a guy with no knowledge looking in, that your hormones would be more in sync if you did breastfeed because that's the more natural way to do it.
I think it takes again, I know nothing about this as well other than experiences of feeling it, but it balances itself out, but it's all over the place until you kind of figure mm-hmm. it out. And it's never been figure outable for me.
Well, I remember you driving home for an hour in your car from work, hooked up to a pump, feeling like you were just a dairy cow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You just, I don't know, you just go through these random motions of this is what you just do. And so I just did the motions. You just do the thing. But your milk changes like with the needs of the baby. So hormonal, like everything changes all the time. So to not have to go through all of that has been so far. Mm-hmm. That's also been like great. Cause that's also physically and mentally and emotionally draining. And for somebody who it's never clicked with, like that is such an emotional roller coaster that I just knew that I could not go down.
Didn't want to go down.
And did not want to go down for the sake of myself, which then meant the sake of my family and mm-hmm. my other people, not just him. That taking that pressure off myself has been a game changer too.
Well, so there's a few things there. One is I was having a hard time not laughing inside of my brain, picturing you getting pulled over on your ride home with two bottles and suction cups strapped to your boobs while the pump milk and the cop saying, ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over? And you just being, no.
I just would have left it there for all to see.
Right. Yeah. Listen, I would hope a cop would be like, all right, let's just get you home. But this is one of the areas where I believe your self-esteem and your mental work that you've done over the years has been huge, because we both know the health benefits to the kid of being breastfed.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of social pressure to breastfeed. I mean, uh-huh. in the hospital, the only thing the hospital promotes that they don't make money off of is you breastfeeding your kid.
Yeah.
And you breastfed the first three for different durations, and you expressed, and we fed the babies from bottles. And this time you knew going in.
Yeah, I made the
decision. I'm not going to do this.
Ahead of time.
So there's a few things here. One, we ended up being very fortunate to being able to get donor milk from your sister and from a friend.
Yeah.
So we've been giving the baby breast milk. and some formula with a supplement. But how did you reconcile in your brain, I'm not giving this kid the juice from my boobs? And be ready to take all of the, are you sure? You know, yeah, it's better for him. Are you know, you all of that judgment.
So I still struggle sometimes of like, ugh. But then I have to remember all the other things that I just said out loud to you, mm-hmm, of like, there's so much more than just like that part of it. Mm-hmm. That like, this is the best version of me. Like, mm-hmm, me in this state right now as mom, this is the best mom that I can show up for my kids. And that is way better than breast milk, mm-hmm, in my opinion.
I agree.
So that's what it, so this is how I need to show up. And mm-hmm, so I just do it.
Right.
And it's a lot easier. So I will take my Motrin. I will take my Sudafed. I will smell like salad, however long I need to smell like salad.
You smell like cabbage.
Cabbage.
For people who don't know what she's talking about, Kim is wearing a cabbage bra.
Basically.
It's big pieces of cabbage underneath the bra on the boobs, because theoretically there's some chemical reaction.
With inflammation.
Yeah.
Helps lower inflammation.
Well, so inflammation or lactation.
I think it's the inflammation. From what I looked up into.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
You should start a supplement company. Cabbage.
There's apparently cabbage cream.
That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah,
there's like a cream.
We should be total charlatans. We should build a cabbage empire.
It's called Cabo Cream, but it's like 30 bucks. And I don't know, according to Google, you know, you should only, it takes 3 to 5 days to dry up. And I'm like, that is false.
When you combine this cabbage cream with snake oil, exactly, your body responds immediately.
And so, yeah, so just regular $3 cabbage will.
I can see the commercials now. We'd be like, it's meant for the boobs. But there's like a woman who's like, it's meant for the boobs. But I rubbed some of my vagina too, and it really helped.
Stop.
We'd make it so much money.
Stop it.
There's no ethics, but we could do it. Do you want that to be your side business?
No.
Okay. Listen. I'm just putting it out there
Thank
for you.
You. You're Appreciate welcome. That.
You're welcome.
I'm good.
So you still deal with it a little bit, but I love the way that you put that, because it's the 70% is 100%.
Yeah.
Would it be better if you could do all of the things that you're doing right now, breastfeed, and still do them and still feel the way that you do? Probably, but you don't believe that you could and you don't want to.
Well, in years past, my prior experience, the answer for me was no.
Right.
I was on
a
sinking ship.
It's a trade-off.
And so I'm taking that off and I'm not doing that right now.
And I support you.
Yeah.
You've come such a far way in your ability to hold your ground in all things. You know, so
that's what I'm trying to.
But you're doing such a good job.
Hard one.
But you're doing such a good job. Thank you. I think that it's either been the result of or a catalyst for your mental health just being inspiring. Because you used to feel uncomfortable telling people that you take care of the household and that you don't have a career anymore, job. Now you're out with it.
Yeah, but it's still like a...
It still feels different.
Yeah.
But you're out with it. You don't hold it back.
No.
You used to... there was a lot less confidence when somebody would ask you a question about something you knew you were going to be judged for the answer of than there is now. Like when the nurses were like, oh, so do you want to breastfeed? You're like, nope, we're not going to do that. I brought some milk with me to the hospital. There was no like... Tell me why you think I should. Like, you had decided, and that was that.
Yeah. That one's like a heart, like, and I don't know if it's just topic sensitive. That's one that, because it's so pushed on, like, I knew going in, it was just like, boop, here's my answer. You got to respect it. Like, you got to back off right. of that one. Because if there is some leeway in your voice, you can be talked into it. And like, of course, it's still in my mind of like, like if there was one kid who could probably do it,
yeah, he
probably
so
could
good.
Be this one. And, you know, I'm like, dang. But I know that I just can't go down that road. It's just like not, mm-hmm. that's a hard no for me this go around.
Yeah, I know you agree with me. And I also know that we have absolutely no scientific data to back this up. But I believe that, him being like, he's such a good baby. He's calm. He cries when he needs something, and he's quiet when he doesn't.
Right.
And I believe that there's a large component of the energy in the house that plays into that.
I have said that since day one with our oldest. Mm-hmm. When number one came in, I think babies just can pick up on the world around them,
mm-hmm.
and what the energy frequency is. And if there's a bit of chaos going on, they absorb it, and that helps influence their personality.
Mm-hmm.
And if
what are you saying about number one? That's my homegirl.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm saying number three.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If you really look at all of all four of them.
She's great too.
Of course she is. Yeah. I'm just saying she's a lunatic as well.
She's different.
She's different.
Yeah.
One ain't like the other.
It's true. You were going through it after her.
Right. But if you take a look at just like other families as well. I just had a conversation with another mom this morning about her number three, basically, mm-hmm. and the chaos that like was going on in her household and just how she's just different.
Yep.
You know, like it's just a different kid than what you were used to, and just a new set of problems for them or a new, however you approach that child.
Well, I think people can hear that and be like, that's out there. But I would challenge you, anybody, and I'm not, by the way, let me be clear. I think that the kids after their infancy have the opportunity to grow into whatever they're going to grow into. And the household energy changes over time. I would challenge anybody to sit in a room where the tension is high and not feel it.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh no, what are you talking about? Everything's totally relaxing here. People could not be saying a word. And you would know this is an uncomfortable room to sit in. Now imagine being an infant. And that's the only life experience that you have is an uncomfortable room. Right. For how long? 4 months, 6 months, a year, your life? Yeah, I have this conversation with my father frequently when he's like, my blood pressure is genetic. I'm like, it's not. You may be genetically predisposed to high blood pressure, but you're discounting the childhood that you had.
Yeah.
And the rationale that anybody who grew up that way, getting into fistfights on a weekly basis just so that you can get to school. You know, I don't want to go into too much of my father's childhood, but he overcame a lot. Like there's good rationale for you having high blood pressure.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a genetic thing. Last thing I want to talk to with you. I was so proud of the way you handled your piece of shit doctor at the end of your pregnancy. We had to change insurance. And so we didn't have access to the OB clinic that you went to for the first three.
Right.
So we're in the clinic. The doctor who's responsible for you is handling this situation in both of our assessments in an irresponsible way. And unlike all the other pregnancies, I did not go to all of the visits with you.
Yeah.
Because of our responsibilities in life and our roles and our relationship had changed.
I don't know. I just also felt like, oh, all right, fourth time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But take them through what happened here at the end.
So because of my lovely, fabulous, mature age, I am in the
geriatric.
Yeah. And beyond, because I'm in the 40 and fabulous club of delivering.
Yep.
But in conjunction with seeing my OB or a OB, because this was a brand new practice, my GYN did not deliver anymore. So I just kind of got shifted over to whoever could accept me. I stayed put because they took the insurance. It was close. And this is baby number four. For me, my mindset was, okay, this person's just catching my kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing all the hard work anyway with the nurses. They're there at the end. That's it. Fine. It is what it is. And most of my other appointments that had like the sonograms and the better technology and stuff, that was with maternal fetal medicine. So I felt very confident that my care, most of my like for real care was in a different office.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of showed up here as like a check-in, FaceTime, you know, once a month, twice a month, check the heartbeat, cool, see you at delivery. It was, I'm trying to think through. So right before my 39th week, so what, 38 plus six, I suppose, I had my last and final appointment with him. It was 7:30 at night. That was the only time they could squeeze me in And so I had to take it because it was like the last before my scheduled induction date, which, by the way, I was hesitant on because I think, you know, your body can just do the thing that it's supposed to do. I was mixed about getting induced, but ultimately, I really wanted a holiday baby, so he's born on St. Patrick's Day.
You woke up in labor anyway.
I woke up in labor anyway that morning, so that was going to be a thing anyway.
Get him to the thing.
Anyway, at the doctor's office, he checked the heartbeat and then wanted to do a cervical check. So this was Thursday night. Induction was scheduled for Sunday. And I said, you know, actually, I don't want the check. My mindset was, whatever he checks me at Thursday night, the plan's going to change anyway by Sunday morning because I have to get induced. They got to check me again and figure out whatever that looks like Sunday. So it didn't matter to me what it looked like Thursday night. He didn't know that part yet. I had just said, no, actually, I don't want a cervical check. And he responded what I think is very childlike and said, well, fine. I'm not inducing you on Sunday then. And I was just so taken aback. And then
which is wild, by the way, because the reason he was inducing on Sunday is allegedly for the baby's health. Right. So now what he's saying
because
is,
now I'm over 40. Over 40. There's a sweet spot at 39 weeks that they like to induce at. And like, obviously the recommendation came from him in the first place to get induced. Mm-hmm. And now he was threatening to take it away.
I'm not going to do it because you won't let me put my fingers in your vagina today. So odd.
The most bizarre response I've ever heard. So then I explained why, and I told him what I just shared a second ago. And I said, also, you gave me a check last week that was a little bit uncomfortable. I bled. I lost my mucus plug the next day. And not for nothing, I had shared that my husband was going on a business trip, and he was gone. And it left me in very much of a panic mode. And that check, the week prior, felt different than the first check, like 2 weeks prior. I said the two exams were very different feelings. He then said, so are you saying I assaulted you? Which, that is not a funny joke.
Right.
That, like,
well, he wasn't making a joke.
It was very accusatory. He basically is claiming that I'm saying that I was assaulted, which is, like, you just don't do that.
No.
That is not an appropriate word to use. And I didn't say that word.
Or mean it.
Or mean it in that capacity at all. But I did want to question, be like, are you
did
saying
I get assaulted?
You assaulted me? Like, it just left so many bad tastes in my mouth of just like, it was so uncalled for, so unprofessional. He left the room. I just kind of stayed there like, just like, what happened? And I came quickly to the conclusion that I was like, this man will not have the privilege of delivering our son into the world. I will not be absorbed by this man's energy. I have been throughout this entire pregnancy, and I've hated every visit that I have come into this office with. And I was like, nope, no more. I will roll the dice. I will take whoever is on call at the hospital. It's got to be way better than this. Mm-hmm. And it was.
It was amazing.
It was wonderful.
Shout out to Dr. Lee. Crushed it.
Dr. Gio, Dr. Winkler, like the whole staff at South Nassau, like they were beyond rock stars. I felt so supported.
The reason I wanted you to share that is because I believe that that is something that only the current version of you could do. The previous versions of you could not have done that, especially by yourself in the room.
It wouldn't have
been the same.
I don't think I would have found my voice. I think I just would have just like let things happen probably because I'm like, oh, well, he's the doctor. Mm-hmm. This is what like right. And I think that is his feeling.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm always told yes.
I'll kick rocks, brother.
Yeah, I'm not told no. And so just like finding your voice in a pregnancy is just so empowering as well. That's important. It felt good to like, no, this is my power. Mm-hmm. Like I am doing the thing, how I envision the thing to happen, and I'm going to do it my way.
I love it. Thank you for sharing your birth story.
Welcome.
Turn pro. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Active Life Podcast. Please remember, give us a hand, rate it, review it, wherever you listen to shows. We are on a mission to humanize the healthcare industry by professionalizing the fitness industry to empower the individual to live a life unlimited by the way that their body looks, feels, or performs. If you are inspired by that mission and want to jump on the wagon, find us anywhere. Active Life Professional on Instagram, Active Life RX on Instagram. Come to me personally at Dr. Sean Pestuch. We want to welcome you onto the train. We want you to be a part of the mission. We want to offer you the opportunity to pursue this right alongside us. We're inspired by your effort, and we hope to help you in your journey. Turn pro.